Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. Those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show where we discuss and plan and vent, and we actually look at and compare ideas and methods of getting our own state or territory, or in separating it to our own. This is the show when you've decided that you want to implement the teachings and the recommendation of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that we need to separate and get our own territories and states of our own. The more we think things are changing, the more we get evidence and we see that things are staying the same. Minneapolis, Minnesota right now is on fire for the unjust death of our brother George Floyd. And it's just more evidence. Just off the heels of Ahmaud Arbery, we see more and more, right in the middle of a so-called pandemic, when people are supposed to be coming closer to help each other, that doesn't include the black man and black woman in America. So what are we going to do? As Muslim followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we know what to do. But the question is, are we willing to do it? And what is it going to take for us to do it? We need to separate. We need to separate into our own governable, sovereign territories. So we have a wonderful show for tonight. And to tell you more about it, I'm going to bring on the host for tonight's show, Dr. Rijli Mufmeen. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Rijli.
Wa alaikum salam. Do you have Brother Patrick on the line?
Brother Patrick, if you are on the line, press the 1 on your dial, and that will put you in our queue. I can recognize you and open your line. Brother Patrick, if you're on the line right now, okay. Somebody press the one. Assalamualaikum.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you now. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, yes or no.
You hear me now? Okay. All right, well, we got tonight, we have a gentleman Muslim farmer who was and still, you're a principal. Are you still a principal, brother?
Yes, sir. I run a charter school in South Fulton, kindergarten through eighth grade.
Okay. So here is a white collar worker who is in an air conditioning, cool setting. What most of us look forward, bourgeois, middle class lifestyle. But lo and behold, 5 years ago, my brother ventured out into farming. He bought him some land right outside of Atlanta, and he began to farm. And the topic tonight, what do you call it, brother? You call it a failing forward?
Failing forward, the first few years of farming.
I laugh, my brother, because you know me and you, we know, right? People don't know, me and you know, okay? It ain't no joke. So tell us, brother, why did you do it, and why do you think you made the right decision, and what have you learned, and what's next?
Well, first of all, thank you. It's an honor to just be on the platform with you, Dr. Ridgely. And so oftentimes we give respect to those who we understand and admire, and those who we yet to understand, we oftentimes disrespect because we just don't know. Thank you. We just don't know and understand. And so I want to preface everything I say with that in mind. So, of course, in the name of Allah, the Blessed, the Merciful, who raised and taught the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, left and I miss the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as a divine water teacher, guide, and friend. I greet everyone and greet the rest of peace. Assalamualaikum.
Islam. Am I still on?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
No, we can now, but you went out for a minute.
I went out for a second? Okay. My family and I are a product of Time and What Must Be Done, number 36. And when the Honorable Minister began that particular episode of Time and What Must Be Done, and he talked about farming, you know, being the engine that drives our nation and our national economy. And in that, he talked about buying land, and then the fact that once you own land, they can't make any more of this earth. It's here. And so once you own a piece of it, you become a god and goddess of that which you own. And
go
so
on,
after that lecture, you know, I told my wife, I said, the minister told us about land. And she was like, okay, I think he was talking to the whole nation, brother. And I was like, no, nope, he's talking to us and he's talking to me. I hear him, he's telling me. And so we set out on a quest, and to fast forward the story, you know, Allah put everything in place to get us to a point to where we could purchase land. We were blessed with a friend by the name of Wayne Swanson and Swanson Family Farms, not a registered Muslim in the mosque, but a brother who had been farming with his family and had kindred spirits. And we became best friends within the first 15 minutes, and we've been business partners every day since.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were blessed with some the right guidance and a turning point in our understanding of why we would do this was visiting our Muhammad Farms for the July 4th, 2014. And we're on the back of a tractor. We had just picked watermelons with Doc and his family. We're on the back of a tractor on a trailer. We're riding through the pastures. And Doc is, you know, giving us stories about the land and the deers. And I've been on the farm, you know, multiple times. But this particular time, a guest asked you, Doc, about well, is this organic? Because I only eat organic. And it was almost like a tennis match reaction with Serena hitting a 90-mile-an-hour rally back across the net. Doc, you fired off on her, like, so harsh. And I was like, man, that was kind of hard. And so, you know, we didn't say anything in the moment, but riding back home, I was like, man, you hear what Doc said? And Doc was kind of harsh. Without these last 5 years of failing forward, I would take that as being a harsh comment. But in these years of failure that we've experienced, you were very mild in what you said to the sister. And I understand now. And so to our guests that are listening, to the believers and friends, what I pray that I share with you is the realities of what heaven looks like. And in those realities of what heaven looks like, don't think of just, you know, gold and milk and honey and all the pleasantries. Heaven is work. But if you work your heaven, there's no other greater peace that you can establish on earth, even in the midst of a global pandemic. You could still be sitting in heaven. And so our experience on our farm, we were blessed with 31 acres. And when I say blessed, I don't want nobody to get spooky now. Ain't nobody dropped no money on us and somebody died and we inherited. I took my little principal money and took my wife's little teacher money, and we pulled our resources together and we purchased a farm. You know, we lived a subdivision life and drove the Mercedes and different suits and all that kind of stuff. And that's not heaven. I can tell you that now. And so we have a modest home. We have 31 acres and it's heaven. And if you understand what we should be searching for, then you understand why it could be heaven. And so well, just to go ahead.
Let me say this. I've been there a number of times. Yes, you have a modest home, but it ain't small, and you have another outhouse to that. It's an older home, but it's one of them homes that survived a hurricane. And your layout, everything is very beautiful. It definitely looks like a picture. So then, anyway, go ahead on and
praise be to Allah. And we have survived by Allah's grace. And I know we know who could change rain, snow, hail, earthquake. Two tornadoes in the last 5 years have hit on the bottom of the property, and we slept. We woke up like, what's going on? Why are the power out? Why are these trees down? Ooh, look at that. We could see the path of one tornado where it touched down on our property and wiped out a subdivision. We're looking at the path from our property, but we know who does that. All praise is due to Allah. One thing that I would share, and the reason that I said failing forward, we had to get to a point to where, you know, in certain careers, you do things and there's an immediate reward. And the reward is of a positive nature. You know, so you might get a bonus. You might get a new parking space for your achievements. You know, you might get your own office for your achievement. And so the work that you put in, you see the reward in something tangible, right? It's the opposite of that, and the reward is greater in farming. So in farming, you'll do a planting. So you know, like that first year, we planted sunflower seeds. I didn't know no better. I just had found sunflower seeds on sale. Planted sunflower seeds, and in our garden, we had about 76-foot sunflowers. Oh, they were so beautiful and every right. And one day I told my wife, I said, we planted them. It's useless after they start to die. And so I'm approaching these 70-plus sunflowers with my lawnmower one day. And I see all these bugs on top of the sunflower. And I'm like, man, it was a waste of time. And right when I got ready to hit the first stalk dock with my lawnmower, I looked down on the ground, and from that one sunflower were about 500 sunflowers. And so in that moment, I understood that in death is life. And every plant that you plant, seeds you put in the ground, when it's time to harvest, you harvest it. If you don't, that plant will say, you know what, I'm about to die. I'm going to bolt, and I'm going to go to seed. Because I have to make sure the next generation benefits from my life. And so the selfishness that we take on, we're not too concerned about the next generation. So our daily prayer at our farm is let our farm be a blessing to our family, to our nation, and we pray that our children become the benefactors. Because we may not see the harvest of this work putting in now, but I pray, Allah, that our children see it. So there's multiple instances in farming where you're going to hit a moment of failure. I've done chickens about 9 times. I got out of a chicken about 9 times, right? Because you do chickens, and then they die. You reach the hen eggs, and the snakes get them. Then you get more chickens, and then the owls get them. And then you do more chickens, and the possums get them, right? So I've failed at that multiple times to a point now I know how to raise chickens. My first set of cows, we had the cows, we started having babies. We didn't have any fencing. We had perimeter fencing. So they mean they ate every piece of grass they could eat. The first winter, I spent $1,800 every 2 weeks buying hay because I knew nothing about rotational grazing. I knew nothing about paddocks. I knew nothing about buying hay in the summer because in the winter it's going to be too pricey. You know, none of that. I failed. Right? But I don't make that those same mistakes anymore. In this, outside of becoming married to Sister Ishtar, outside of attending the Million Man March, outside of accepting the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and changing my practices to Islam, outside of those three, purchasing the farm and getting into agribusiness has been one of the best decisions of not only my life, but of my lineage. And I know that if we stay consistent, that generations of this Muhammad will be able to eat and survive from agribusiness. And so I know I said a lot in that, Doc, and I'll slow down and, you know, open up for questions and guidance. But those are some of the reasons why I said the better title is Failing Forward.
You know, it was. I mean, you know, I can just sit here and just listen to you and just smile and laugh, you know. I love a believer, and to have a believer and a farmer, oh, man, I just love it, man. I know you get in hell, but you learn from your mistakes, and you make so – I get tired of making mistakes, man. I make so many mistakes, and I pay every time I pay that mistake. Man, it's like – I just get tired of making mistakes, but hell, I gotta keep moving.
Yes, sir.
And,
you gotta keep
you know,
moving.
I'm not perfect. I don't. I'm not the all nor the all seer. I got so many other variables. The more you try to do, the more things come in, and then you got to worry about help and equipment and all this type of stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
Then
mm-hmm.
You got more worries because you got more things you got to keep up with. It's crazy, man. And
it's crazy.
A farmer, you know, you want to quit, but then the season comes around. And it's like you can't, you know what I mean? It's like for I'm a dirt farmer, right? You deal with animals more. I'm a dirt farmer, but in January, when the other farmers start put that stuff, the tractors in the ground, and you smell that new earth, oh man! No matter how bad it was last year,
yes sir,
you have to jump on that tractor and try it one more time. This time we're gonna get it right.
Yes, sir.
And Doc, can you imagine? When you decide to become a farmer, you don't sign up for 180.
Go ahead.
Sign up for funding. You don't sign up for a job that's 80 degree weather or better. When you sign up to farming, rain, shine, body aching, Ramadan, desert. But the reward, today we sit down for dinner on our plate.
You're breaking up.
In our garden. Buttered lettuce and speckled lettuce. Can you hear me?
I hear you now, but you were breaking up there for a minute. What was the difference between then and now, right quick, in terms of where you're located at, how you're doing it? Because you were breaking up for a minute.
Okay, I went to a spot. I'm almost back at the farm, so we should be fine now.
Oh, okay, cool.
But you can hear me now. Okay, so I was saying for dinner today we ate broccoli from our garden.
Mm.
Swiss chard, buttered lettuce, and speckled lettuce, straight from our garden, right?
Mm.
And so it makes you forget about the day that it rained and it was a tornado and a thunderstorm. I forgot about that because the reward that we were able to taste. Now, last year, my broccoli didn't do anything. The year before, tomatoes were terrible, right? I've been successful with okra, but as you can tell me, Doc, anybody can grow okra, right? So I got happy because I grew okra. Well, you can't really do go wrong with okra. You know, so this year my bees are doing well. Last year my bees didn't do so well. So every time you fail at something, I lost a whole herd of sheep.
Mm. Wow.
Right? Lost them in the woods. We think it was partly my dogs, partly my coyotes. But I'm in the beef and lamb business. What, I'm going to just sit and cry? So I had to reinvest my own money back into getting more lamb. That's just a reality. Either I'm going to sit and cry and twiddle my thumbs, or you get back in the fight. And so now we have a strong herd. You know, we increased our fencing. Because one thing about farming is you always complete the job every day. You don't go into the house and didn't close the gate, or didn't turn off the water, or didn't cover up those seeds. You know, you have to complete the task. You know, farming is not for the faint of heart and the lazy Negro, right? You have to complete the task. And so that concept has now converted over into every aspect of our lives. Like, we don't do anything and you go to sleep and you don't complete it. No, we complete it. The other thing, a characteristic that we've learned is perseverance. Right? And then you just can't be fearful. Like that first year, I can't stand snakes. So when I see a snake, either I'm going to kill it or I'm going to shoo it away, but I can't stop. I can't move the whole house. Oh, we gone. Oh, Lord. But the more you get in tune with Allah, the darkest nights become the brightest evenings. Because now you see the beauty of the moon and the stars and the stillness at night, and hearing the owl, you know, and seeing in the morning where it transitions from the owls to the morning songbirds, right? And then you see that gray crane, you know, just leap up from the stream and fly right by you, you know, with no sound, right? Or you can hear the frogs telling you it's dusk or dawn. You know, and then you see the beauty of the bats, you know, and they're reducing your mosquitoes at night. You know, so when you can begin to marvel at the bounties of Allah, you know, now the scriptures jump off the page. You know, when he talks about that, he has given talent for you. So my 15-year-old son can walk out and he can move, you know, 30 cows with no fear, or he can corral the sheep with no fear. Or he can mount a 16-hand horse with no fear. But if you asked us about that 5 years ago, we would think you'd be crazy.
Right.
But now we understand that he gave us dominion over the fish and the fowls and the birds. Because Allah's hand is in farming and in agribusiness.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It'll make you a god or a punk.
One of them. And, you know, Doc, one thing that one of those trips, you know, when we brought the minister down, he let us ask questions. And one of the questions or comments was every minister would, from an early recommendation, should spend some time on the farm, either Muhammad's farm, a farm, just in it. And that's ministers, you know, I'm saying, in the plural nature, you know. And one of the reasons is this is what will sustain us. Like right now, farmers are not really, you know, the small farmers are not really upset about this pandemic and the economy. because Kovo is not affecting the rainwater right now and the sunshine. And so if you were saving your seeds from last year because you planted last year, then you didn't worry about when the seeds were going off the shelf. If you know how to till the ground with a tiller or with your hand and a shovel, you can till the ground, and Allah's mercy has not stopped.
Right.
And so as long as you can put it in the ground and you can get it to process, farmers are eating pretty good right now. But if we have become too bourgeois to where we have no relationship with the farmer and or a farm, then you think it's bad. We don't know how bad it is yet, Doc. When I call processing plants and they say, oh, give you is January the 15th. This is May.
You mean processing plants, you mean for your cow or for your sheep?
For cows and sheep. Luckily, Allah has blessed us with inroads to where we're okay. But when I'm calling to get additional dates, you know, just in case, you know, I have studied from Abdul Sharif Muhammad. He told me I operate on two tracks, brother. You know, so I have multiple tracks going at all times. Those other tracks, they're saying January at the early. My in-laws who manage a chain of grocery store that starts with a P in Georgia, she said, Pat, the meat that we're putting on the shelves right now is a year to a year and a half old.
Wow.
Did you hear what I just said?
That's not good.
The
meat
that's already scarce, when you go to the shelves, you see the shelves. They look very bare. But even the meat that they're putting out right now is a year to a year and a half old.
Wow.
And so what that means is after they exhaust the surplus that's in these freezers, then there wouldn't be no meat. So if you are not already buying in bulk, if you're not already connected with your farmer, then and your family has not the size of their stomach by doing one meal a day, and you did not go through Ramadan to where you understand now, you don't even get hungry till 9 o'clock because your body has been shifting for the last 30 days. You know, so if you're still eating two and three meals a day, and now what you enjoy is not there, is the famine is coming.
Let's say the shock of the hour.
The shock of the hour. Yes, sir.
This is real.
So, Doc, go ahead. I know I talked a lot.
Let's see if anybody out there will ask a question, Brother Carlton.
As a matter of fact, we sure do. We have one caller in the queue, but before we open that line, we're going to invite the other callers. Brothers and sisters, if you're enjoying this conversation, you'd like to take a part or ask a question, push the 1 on your dial, get into the queue, and join the conversation. Right now, we have a caller with the last 4 digits, 2303. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. It's Brother Terrence in Phoenix. Brother Patrick, I am so inspired. I really appreciate what I'm hearing. You know, I'm over here cracking up and making comments and Doc, thank you for inviting brother on. It's a beautiful guest, beautiful show. And keep up the good work. Keep inspiring people because I know I'm fired up. So thank
all
you so much. May Allah continue to bless you and your family. And inshallah, you know, next Founders Day, I hope to meet you. You know what I mean? May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Terrence. And I pray a lot that those that, you know, just do know of my person, I'm as honest as they come. And the one thing that I would love everyone to understand is there was no runway for what we have and what we've been doing. It was the inspiration from the minister. And I say that to say this, it's doable. So, people, you know, you got the brother that still ain't married. You've been around for 20 years. Like, brother, when you get married, man, when I get everything in order. Brother, it's 20 years later. If you ain't got it in order now, you don't get it in order. So So when I say that to say this, if you want to start farming, start. Grow something on your patio now. Grow something in your windowsill. Start there. And let that inspiration and that energy and momentum, then you'll start riding around looking at properties. Then you start identifying, you know, what kind of property you like. What do you think your wife likes, right? And, you know, and then you'll start, you know, like we bought, listen to this, you all. We bought 8 cows and we were living in a subdivision.
What?
Did you hear what I just said? We were owners of 8 cows living in a subdivision. And my buddy, who's still my buddy, Wayne Swanson, allowed us to put those cows on his land. Now, if Wayne was been like, man, I don't like y'all no more, or Farrakhan said something crazy, what were we going to do with 8 cows? Because we ain't have no land. So the 8 cows motivated us to go find some land. Now, Wayne has always been the same guy. He's the same guy from day one. That never became an issue. But I'm saying, if you don't start something. You want to do quail business? Go buy you 2 quails and put them in a shoebox. Or put them in a little dog kennel and start feeding them and get the eggs. Okay, now you're in the quail business. You got 2, all right? You know, just start somewhere. But sitting there playing double dutch with farming, ooh, I'm going to get in. Ooh, no, I ain't ready. Ooh, I'm going to get in. You ain't going to never get in. Get in, get hit, get tangled up with the rope, fall, and get up again. Try it again, and you'll be successful.
You ain't saying nothing but the truth, my brother. You know, I've been sailing forward for 25 years now. Okay, any more calls?
Yes, sir. We got some more callers. Yes, sir. We got some more callers. We got 2. Let's see, we got one right here. Caller with the last 4 digits, 8804. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Andrea in Eolia, Missouri. Dr. Ridgely and Brother Patrick, it is wonderful. This morning I woke up with the thought, one thing my father taught me from early age is land is something they ain't making no more.
Mm-hmm.
So we need our land, and I never have forgotten that. And I remember seeing you Savings Day 2019, Dr. Ridgely had you on the panel. And I have constantly told people your story because it really, really, I mean, it just resonated with me that you heard that I'm the minister of Farrakhan with part 36, and you were telling your wife, the minister's talking to me. The minister's
yes,
talking
ma'am.
To me. And
yes,
I just want to
yeah.
thank you. I look forward to getting back down to Georgia, not
oh,
only going
on.
To Muhammad's farm, but also coming to your faith farm. And,
oh, praise and be to Allah.
Yes, sir. And I want to thank you for writing the children's book. I just gave Principal Farmer Has a Farm to my 2-year-old, for his second birthday. My grandson, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So thank you for inspiring
you,
our children, too.
Thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
Thank you. All praise due to Allah. And
what's the name of that book?
I would like to say about
called The
Principal Farmer Has a Farm.
Okay. How do you get that book?
It's on, you can go to yourfaithfarm.com.
Okay. Yourfaithfarm.com.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Hey, Doc, one thing that someone asked me, hey, did you tell the minister about the farm? This was, you know, early on. I said, no, I didn't. I said, well, I thought you said, you know, the minister inspired you. I said, yeah, the minister did inspire. Well, why you didn't tell him? I said, so that's what we miss. So oftentimes we'll do things to win favor and not do things to earn favor.
Ooh. Ooh.
See, there's a difference.
Ooh.
Some people want nearness, my Lord, to thee, trying to win favor. But you should be working to earn favor. It's better to be called up than to be axed down. So one of my pains of being in the nation, one of my pains was hearing the minister come back from one of the World Friendships Tours. And the minister was describing how all over the world they were inspired and enjoyed the work of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and the minister. And they were saying, Farrakhan, Farrakhan, send one just like you, or send some just like you. And the minister was saying he was pained because he said he didn't know who he could send that will go with the same spirit, the same energy, and the right character, and not go over there to enrich their own lives. And so in that, I heard the minister needs help, right? He needs worker bees that keep working, keep doing, and then when he needs to point to some aspect, then he can say, you know, I wonder if we got any brothers out there that's, and sisters that's growing anything. Oh, let me find out. Well, I wonder if we got anybody that can handle livestock. Oh, let me go. Right? I'd rather be, it says, qualify yourselves for a position that awaits you. Right?
Right.
It didn't say just stand on the sideline and just admire positions and never work towards those positions.
Come on.
And so we did eventually, you know, let the minister know. And when I did get a chance, I said, oh, brother minister, this was here in Atlanta. I said, oh, we got the form for you. He said, no, brother. No, no, that you didn't. You just followed the instructions. And so following the instructions has been super amazing. And I want your guest, Doc, to just understand, like, I know what blessings look like, you all. Like, I know what it feels like when Allah smiles, right? And when Allah smiles on you, the bounties, remember that last part, the last couple of days of our reading for Ramadan, where they kept talking about the bounties of Allah? When Allah is pleased, oh, my goodness. You know, the beauty and the majesty, blessings, they just continue to flow to where it gets uncomfortable. You know, and I ain't defending you, brother. I ain't that kind of brother. I ain't talking about that kind of stuff. But I'm saying it just gets uncomfortable because you're like, why Allah is so much favor, right? And favor does not mean ease.
Come on.
Okay? Favor does not mean, you know, every door you turn and opens. No, I don't mean it like that. When I say favor, I'm saying that he gives you the obstacle. He places the obstacle. He gives you the trial, and then he lets you find the solution.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Because he's the author of everything. If he's not the author of everything, then he's not Allah. But he is. So when he gives you the obstacle and gives you the trial, then the solution is right there. But as my dad used to tell me, he said, son, success is right in front of you. You just got to be willing to reach out and grab it. But if you stand there, oh, I want to be successful. Well, quit wanting to be it. Make yourself successful. Work towards your success. And if you
do that,
then you can see the majesty of Almighty God, Allah.
Praise be to Allah. I bear witness. You can see the hand of Allah beneath your hand if you work hard and understand. Remember I told y'all in 2018 that was a special year for them watermelons? You know what I mean?
And that's the year you came up, right?
That's the year. Huh?
That's the year you came up here, too, right?
Yeah, the year I came up there, and set up right around the corner from you there. You set me around the corner from you. And I said, this is special. Now, I can't tell you what's going to happen next year, but I saw Allah's hand in making these watermelons this year. Now, that was 2019 was terrible. You know what I mean? But I had 2018 to knew that I had his favor. Now, what he was trying to show me in 2019, I don't know. But I didn't take credit. I didn't take credit for 2018. I gave him all the credit.
Gave
so
him all the credit.
Bad. You know what I mean? I don't feel bad that I was trying to be boastful or take the credit for what he did. So that's one thing about it. You work hard, then you see his hand in so many things. To make things come out towards his plan. He has a plan. And we hope that we're on the best side of that plan. But regardless of whether we're on the best side or the wrong side, we're in his plan.
We have his plan. And I would say, excuse me, just continue to work so that you can see, like, what part of Allah's mission is carved out for you. If you asked me 10 years ago, you know, would I be doing this? I probably I help in the ministry,
Right.
And I wouldn't tell you that this was it. The only thing close, my mom told me, she said, when I was young, I used to tell her, Ma, I'm going to have a house so big, I'm going to have a dolphin in the backyard, right? So I guess that's just how my mind was, but I guess to have a dolphin, it means you had to have a significant amount of space. Well, I don't have a dolphin, but we have, on a daily basis, we manage, we have 11 horses here. We have 30 sheep, 4 dogs.
Wow.
We have 42 chickens.
Wow.
We have 2 significant beehives that are thriving. And then in the garden side, we have 15 fruit trees. Then we have our little blackberry. And then we have maybe 20 raised beds. And then we do another 50 by 30 row garden. And that's daily, right? So every day you have to touch each aspect of that, But it's so – I could go to bed, you all. And I'm tired. And I can hear that first chirp. That bird, I don't know which bird it is, Doc. It's a bird that come up before the sunrise. It's a 5 o'clock bird. It ain't the rooster. I ain't talking about that kind. But there's some songbird that's right before 5 o'clock, and I can hear that bird. And we get up, we say our prayers, and after that, we right outside. And I'm talking right outside, even during Ramadan. Sun up to sundown working in the farm. And never had the desire, never had the need to quench our thirst, because Allah is feeding you, all the nourishment you need by working His majesty. Everything they were working is Allah created it. So He knows what you're doing. He created it. He created us.
Right.
So.
That's right. Wow.
Praise you to
Allah. Anybody, any more questions?
Not at this time. Brothers and sisters, you still have time to ask your question and get in the conversation. Press the 1 on your dial, and you will be able to join the conversation.
So,
Doc, I'll
Brother
share. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Okay, Brother Patrick, are black folks willing to pay you the organic price for your organic food?
So let me answer that. So hold on 1 second, Ness. Hold on, just hold 1 second. Don't go nowhere. I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna get an answer to that.
We gotta do what now? Oh yeah, he probably take the phone.
Oh, suspense. He's putting us in suspense.
Okay, well, I asked him that question because that's where he said that I was harsh on that sister. And so since he's been out there for 5 years, I wanted
to get an experience
of how it's been dealing with our people and trying to get the organic price for an organic product.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, Doc, let me answer that. So beef and lamb are my our main products. Grass-fed, everything is raised here, whatever. And so on the beef side, I raise a product that is of the highest of quality. And when I say that, I don't say that from a braggadocious. I'm saying I have cows that could be 30 acres away from me, and I call them and they come running. I have cows that when it's time to take one to processor, I load the trailer, I open the trailer, and I tell them it's time for someone to go. And the cows decide who gets into the trailer. I have animals that, and Brother Eric Teray can bear this witness. I have animals that when it's time to go process, Doc, and we're sitting there at the processor and it's time to get out of the trailer, I have tears in my eyes and so does the animal.
Because the animal is saying, hey, Pat, it's time that this relationship end, and I'm about to give my life to extend the lives of those that you serve. And so to put a price on that, and so, Doc, I'm working on a blog now on how not to disrespect the small farmer. Because the work that we do to bring a quality product to market, the money that we spend, I've been at Tractor Supply probably four times this week, and I probably have spent $3,000 at Tractor Supply this month, right?
Listen.
The time, the money, the energy we put into to bring a quality product. And so I said all that to say I love my customers, and I've had to find the customer base that respects the work that's put in. Because people will come to a farm and they want my prices to be better than Dollar Tree's version of meat. And I'm saying, like, hey, like, I can tell you the name of the cow in that steak, okay, to where you go to a grocery store and you can buy ground beef, and that could be nine animals in that 1 pound of ground beef.
Come on.
But I'm telling you, I know the quality. And so someone asked me the other day, say, hey, I see on your website you have a $50 family box. I do. I have a $50 family box. And the customer was like, oh, can I feed 10 people from that? And I said, no, you can't. So if my prices are averaging between $10 and $12 a pound for beef and $12 and $14 a pound for lamb, and I'm still under the Whole Foods and the Publix prices, and I'm giving you a better product, you know, no, I can't give you, you know, feed 10 people with $50. You can go to Little Caesars, but you're just going to kill yourself. You know, and so I've had to teach the value. And, you know, and so I tell people, Doc, when you ready, come visit the farm, and I'm gonna show you, and I'm gonna tell, I'm gonna stand you in the middle of manure, and you're not even know you're standing there. I'm gonna say, did you smell anything? I said, no, it's beautiful. I said, well, look down. You're standing in about, you know, 200 pounds of manure, but it doesn't smell, does it? The reason it doesn't smell is because I feed my cows grass. They have four stomachs. And so if grass doesn't stink going in and they process it four different times, it doesn't stink going out. And so you don't see flies flying all around my farm because we don't have any non-natural products going into the body. So my animals break down everything because it's natural, so it don't stink. So that's the those are the differences. When you know your farmer, and we don't raise anything here that we don't eat. So if I'm willing to put it into my body, I'm not gonna. I don't want the one time lick. You know how people do a one time lick, Doc? They want to get something off you one time and then disappear. You never see them again.
Right.
We want the repeat customer. You know.
Right. Well, you know, I tell people that I'm way off from everybody. You know what I mean? I could use chemicals to fight these weeds. Y'all wouldn't know a darn thing about it, but I would.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, but I would. So
yeah.
I just can't do it. I just want to do the best
because
that's just why do it if I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? But it's difficult because I'm not going to get the volume that other people are going to get. And so there's always a problem with the bottom line because I'm not going to get the volume because you just can't do. Right now, my wife goes to these different meetings because I don't have time to do that. I used to do that when I was in college and stuff like that, and teaching. But now I got to go. My meeting is with some farmers who know what they're doing, not some meeting somebody who's just talking and so forth.
Yeah.
But anyway, she said they might own 200 acres. They might own 20 acres, but they only try to farm organic 5 acres of vegetables. Five acres.
Because, you know, it's the game. If you know how to manipulate the farming game, you can do stuff like that.
You know what I mean? But we have 60 acres of organic watermelon. No artificial fertilizer, no chemicals. And We'll see how they come out. But so far, they're looking pretty good. We had our weed pulling festival last Saturday, this past Saturday.
Wow.
So we got a lot of weeds pulled. 35 people came out, all praise due to Allah. They enjoyed themselves. We fed them a good meal for pay. But we're going to have those weed pulling festivals because that's how they do it in Cuba. In Cuba, when the farmer needs somebody to come peel, everybody get in the bus and go to help the farmer pull weed. So that's how you can do it without killing. But you got to have certain time frames where you need some help. With in the past, we used to have 12, 13 people in the household, you know, the farmer. So we had that.
Mm-hmm.
But now we don't have that. We have what's called labor-saving equipment and chemicals. And so I'm going to take a picture tomorrow of this field of corn, field corn that I drive past every day. I have to go, if I leave the farm, I have to pass that. And I just want to show people that. And it's like, it's beautiful. And there's no weeds. Nowhere. and it looks beautiful. And I have to see that every day. You know, and I know how he does it. I could do that too.
Yeah,
but my
fields
don't look like that.
Yeah.
Huh?
It makes it tempting. But
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
the reward of that is not
it. Well, I mean, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Okay, I hate GMO. I hate Monsanto. I hate Bayer and Bass. I don't want to make them rich. As a matter of fact, I try to do it with peanuts, since we don't eat peanuts. I try to do it with peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
I try to do it the full chemical way, and I did. And I got three times the volume that I've ever gotten, and we lost money. Because the chemical people got all the damn money. We got a greater volume. But the chemical people got all the money. So I said, that's it for me.
Wow.
I ain't playing this game no more. Okay.
Nah.
So we're not going to get the volume, and therefore we had to cut back little peanuts. Why? Because the price of peanuts is so low, you cannot get your money out. Matter of fact, a lot of farmers are selling their peanut equipment. It's basically over. Even using the chemicals in irrigation. It's over. So it's so many things have happened because things are out of balance, and now these farmers, the cost of production is higher than the prices they're going to receive, and they're committing suicide. Some are just going out of business. The children are not going to farm. And down here, the big farmers are putting up 1,000 acre at a time solar farms.
Mm.
So they're taking 1,000 acres. Leasing it out to these big corporations who's putting up solar panels at $500,000 per acre. That's what it costs, putting in these solar panels, $500,000 per acre. So 1,000 acres is $500 million. The farmers can't afford that, but these corporations give them like $1,500 to $2,000 rent per year to lease the land. And you know, that's more they're going to make from farming, $1,500 to $2,000 guaranteed. That's more they're going to make from farming. That's what you get across. Right?
Right.
That's your expenses. This is just a check. So now the children can get that check, but the farms are taking their land out of production and putting it in solar farms because they know their children not going to farm because the money is not there no more. The government gave them and did not give the black farmers subsidies. And so they bought all the land for the black farmers, but now the government, the cost of production is greater than what the farmers can get, so they can't make no money farming. So now they're taking that land that they stole from us using the government money. Now they put up solar farms.
Wow. That's crazy. That's commercial farming all day.
When you come down here, I'll show it to you. It'll blow your mind. There's three of them in this county. It'll blow your mind. How big these things are. But that's what they're doing. So, you know, the famine is coming, baby, because the farmers, they're in it for the money, and ain't no money in it. They're getting out of it. And so they go get the money off the land, but it won't be no food for you.
Yep.
Now, of course, they come with the fake meat. You know what I mean? Out of the test tube, you know, petri dish. They come with that fake meat. So, yeah, you'll be eating something that looks like and tastes like meat, but it won't be from a cow. It won't be from a chicken.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're using our, you know, I'm not going to say her name, but there's a sister up here that has a booming business. And
yes,
the booming business off of fake meat.
Yes.
And they set her up. Yep. I mean, she's rolling. But that meat is just
yep.
as fake as it could be. You know, and how
yep.
sustainable is that?
Well, the thing is, it's pretty sustainable for the industry, but not for your damn body. You watch and see what happens,
yep,
to you,
yep.
poor
yep.
fella. I
yep.
mean, as it says in the Holy yep. Quran, you're not even supposed to slit the ear of the cow, right? Here you eating something that ain't got no ears. It ain't got no feet. It ain't got no head. Okay? It's just nothing muscle grown in a dish.
That,
okay.
That is crazy.
Brave new world.
And look, they go right into our community. And we buy it hook, line, and sinker.
We loving it because it's pure satanic. It's pure devil meat. It's pure
yeah.
made by their God, the white man.
Yeah.
Our God, who made
yeah.
the heavens and the earth, ain't got nothing to do with it. It's their God, the white man, who made it for them, and they just loving it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we'll get who we can, brother. We'll save
yes,
who we can, but the
yes,
rest
sir.
Of them going in the camp. You know what I mean? And loving it.
Yes, sir. And this last thing I'll share with you, Doc. One of
yes.
the reasons I believe
Hold it.
Okay.
Before I do that, I want to give all the ways they can contact you. Then you get to your point.
Okay.
All the ways they can contact you.
Okay. Our form is Your Faith Forms, YourFaithFarms. YourFaithForms.com. Of course, it's Patrick Muhammad, and if you put Patrick S. Muhammad, I'm kind of Googleable, so you should be able to find me like that. All of our products are sold right on the website, from meat to lamb to horseback riding to trails. And then, of course, my wife is a phenomenal seamstress. You have by Ishtar.com. All handmade garments and masks and the junior FOI uniforms that you see around Savior's Day. And then a lot of the canning. She does a lot of the canning for the MGT classes and so forth in Atlanta. One of the things I was going to say, I believe why we've seen a little more success in these last couple of years is we had to agree with Allah that with the land, everything we do would be in agribusiness. And so, as you know, Doc, for a couple of years I had like a soccer league on the property. You know,
right,
I was
right,
doing
right.
things that were entrepreneurish,
right,
you know, because
right.
I know how to bring resources in, but it was not all ag, right? And so Allah didn't punish us. But I heard Allah saying, brother, I want you to do ag business. Keep doing agribusiness, and I'll keep opening up the bounties. But if you get distracted and you're not thinking, then you're not going to see what I have in store for you. And so, you know, it was hard because I was like, oh, I'm helping children, and, you know, they're playing soccer, black children don't play. You know, they no, brother, stop, brother. If they don't play with you, they're going to play somewhere else. You need to use every square inch of that property doing ag business. And so we've shifted that focus. I would say we aligned that focus better. And the reward has just been amazing.
Well, praise be to Allah. Well, brother, I got to come with something and see you again.
To the last minute, down to the last minute.
Okay.
And we will not have Founders Day this year because of the COVID scare. Inshallah, next we have Founders Day, and we might have another weed pulling festival in on Labor Day, depending on if we have a lot of weed problems. But thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank
You've been
you.
An inspiration.
You.
You've been a joy. You're the real minister of agriculture. You're really preaching, my black man. Praise be to Allah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Doc.
Get
it's
a greeting to your
to
wife
please.
And your family.
Yes, please do the same. And it's an honor, Doc, with all humility. It's an honor to be in a category to be a believer in the work with you.
Oh, praise God. Love, I know I feel like. Go ahead. You got it loud there. Go ahead. Pump it up. There you go.